Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He left His home on high, and the glory that He had with Thee before the world began, and came down into this world to be born of woman, and found in fashion as a man, taking upon Him the form of a servant, that He might show us the things of God. We thank Thee, we praise Thee, and we ask Thee, Father, that we might be faithful to the revelation as it is brought to us. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. When we come now in the book of Matthew, in chapter 16, to verses 13 to 16, in many respects we come to the very center, the very crux of the whole gospel revelation so far as Matthew is concerned. At this point, the Lord Jesus asked His disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" We read this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" This is the crucial question. It isn't a matter of, what do people think about my philosophy? What do people say about my ethics? How will people support my program? No, the question is, who am I, said the Lord Jesus Christ? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Sometimes one hears about people saying that they are not interested in the religion about Jesus Christ. They want to know about the religion of Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you right now, the Lord Jesus was very much interested in what people thought about Him, because this is basic. It's what you think about the Lord Jesus Christ that will guide you to how you act toward Him. Now, you may know very well that men are saved by faith, and it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what Lord Jesus Christ? What kind of a person? Who? And that's the point. If you have in mind that you're thinking in terms of and that you're believing in terms of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, then you'll have God working in you. But if you think of the Lord Jesus Christ as a man, all you've got's a human situation. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now in verse 14, we get quite an array of things. Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Think of that. Some say that thou art John the Baptist, actually continuing the idea that Herod had, that this Jesus of Nazareth was none other than John the Baptist raised from the dead. To us, that would seem incredible, but that's the way they took it. He was just so powerful, and this gives us some idea of how effective the Lord Jesus must have been in His preaching. Whatever we may think one way or another about His presentation, and however we may read the accounts of what He taught, you will remember that John the Baptist was a powerful preacher. All Jerusalem and all Judea went to hear him. He greatly and profoundly stirred the people of his day. And now the Lord Jesus is preaching, and some say that he's John the Baptist. So he must have been a great and powerful preacher. Some say that he's Elias, Elijah. By the way, the word Elias in the New Testament, which is Greek, is the same as the word Elijah, which is in the Old Testament, which is Hebrew. So some said that Jesus of Nazareth was Elijah, had come back again. Of course, the Bible indicated that Elijah was to come back, and there was considerable talk from time to time about it. As a matter of fact, there is a custom among the Jewish people at a certain season of the year, under certain circumstances, I understand that an extra plate is set at the table on certain occasions for Elijah if he was to come, so that Elijah would have a place. Actually, this is in their current culture, and Elijah is a famous man with them. And so they said about Jesus of Nazareth, some said that he was Elijah. That again will give you an idea of what a prestige he had gained and how people thought about him. Others said he was Jeremiah. Well, Jeremiah in Greek is Jeremiah in Hebrew. And this Jeremiah was one of the great preachers, preached a long time. It was his lot to preach. It was his fate, as it were, to preach at a time when the city was dying. when they were going in disobedience and they would be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. But during that time, Jeremiah preached, and preached as a great prophet of God. And so here they said about him that he was Jeremiah. That would lead me to think that the Lord Jesus in his preaching had about his message a certain urgency, a certain note of warning, telling the people of the things that would happen because of their sin. Or one of the prophets, whether it would be this one or that one, one of the prophets. Some people have thought that they meant the prophet, the great prophet that Moses predicted. Now here's the point about all this. All these were great preachers. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, a prophet. They were all great servants of God. But of course it was all wrong. The Lord Jesus wasn't any one of these. The Lord Jesus Christ was not to be named with any one of these. And by the way, when you are in your own mind are trying to place the Lord Jesus Christ, and you ask yourself, who is he? Let me suggest something to you I picked up long ago. It is never a good thing to put the name of Jesus Christ in a list. Just don't put him in a list. Not even at the top of the list. He doesn't belong in any list of men. When you see the name of the Lord Jesus Christ put in a list of men, say to yourself, that's not his right place. That's really seeing him as a man. That's not enough. And these people, they saw him as a man, saw him as a good man, a great man. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. It's not true. And it isn't even good to put the Lord Jesus in a list of even great men, even if you put him at the top. He stands alone. There never was one like him. Not because only because he was greater than, in the sense that he did more effective work than, not just that, but he was different than, had a different nature and a different being in himself. No other man could you say of another man that he was God and man at the same time, like you can say it of the Lord Jesus Christ. He turned to his disciples and said, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter, the spokesman, gave expression to what we call, and has been known generally speaking, as the great confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now here you would need to have the Old Testament scriptures in mind to fully appreciate what Peter is saying. When he says, thou art the Christ, he means to say that Jesus of Nazareth is fulfilling all the Old Testament predictions, that the prophecies that in the Old Testament pointed forward to someone who would come and would deliver the people of God, that's the one that was being had in mind. Thou art the Christ, the one that the prophets spoke about, the one that the people of old time looked for. From away back at the beginning, all the way through Scripture, we have what we call the messianic promises. Some of us take it back to the time when God said to Eve that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent and the serpent would bruise his heel. And some of us have no hesitation in pointing out that that would be the Lord Jesus Christ, who crushed the head of the serpent, Satan, but who himself was bruised when he was put on the cross. And so you could go on through the Old Testament, and going along step by step, find the promises. Moses said, there will come after me a prophet like unto myself, and he'll come up from among you. Hear him. And this, we think, is that prophet. You'll remember that to David the promise was given, that a member of his family, one of his seed, of his flesh, would sit on the throne forever, and his throne would be established, and he would become the King of kings and the Lord of all. And we accept that as referring to the Messiah, and we point out that this is the Messiah, this is the Son of David, the one who will be the ruler of all the world. And so, with reference to Abraham, when the promise was given to him, in thee and in thy seed shall all the nations be blessed. We commonly understand that the seed of Abraham was to be the Christ, the anointed one of God, and we believe that the Lord Jesus filled this. So when Peter said, thou art the Christ, he had all these things in mind and was presenting these things to these people. He is also referring to the promises in the Old Testament where it would appear that God himself would send one who would carry the load of this leadership for effecting salvation in his day and in the whole world. He'd do it here in time, but he'd do it for the whole world. This would be the seed of Abraham. This would be the seed of David. This would be the great prophet, and this would become the King of Kings and the Lord of all. This would be the servant that Isaiah spoke about, who would be the one, the righteous servant of God, who would save people and who would suffer for them, and by their stripes they would be healed. All these things together referring to the Christ. Peter would have all that in mind because Peter had the Old Testament scriptures before him, and Peter had been trained in those things. The Lord Jesus would doubtless have talked about those things. All of them would have had those things in mind. John the Baptist spoke about it, saying that he was not the Messiah, but the Messiah was coming after him. And afterwards, John the Baptist identified him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." But this had been in the air. And yet, apparently, we would judge that the disciples had never been absolutely convinced. I don't know that there's any reason to suppose that they had any doubt, but it's just, you know, how a thing will grow in your mind. You hear about it, and you hear about it, and you think about it, and you think about it, but it just doesn't come up to the point where you're absolutely convinced. And now, at this particular time, comes the crisis, and the Lord Jesus puts it to them bluntly and plainly. "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter comes out and says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Our God and Heavenly Father, we pray thee to put into our hearts the grace that we need to have such conviction about Jesus Christ, that he is truly the Savior who has come and the Lord who will rule. For thy name's sake, we ask it. Amen.